If you dig the twisted, admire the outlandish, and are enamored by the unusual, you're in the right place. True crime, the supernatural, the unexplained, now you're speaking our language. If you agree, join us as we dive into the darker side. You know, because it's more fun over here. Welcome to Total Conundrum.
Warning, some listeners may find the following content disturbing. Listener discretion is advised.
Imagine this. You're living on a quiet stretch of Tennessee farmland in the early 1800s. It's peaceful, simple. You're raising a family, tending to crops, and then something starts knocking on your walls at night. It's not the wind, and it's not an animal, and it's definitely not something you can see. Soon, it's whispering in your ears, pulling the covers off your bed, and beating your daughter while laughing about it. Oh, and just to top it all off, it talks back.
Welcome to Adams, Tennessee, home of one of the most famous and violent hauntings in American folklore, the story of the Bell Witch. This isn't your average ghost tale with creaky stairs and flickering lights. This one comes with slaps, curses, death threats, and a ghost with an actual personality.
Not to mention a flair for the dramatic and a grudge that lasted generations. This story has it all. Possession, political shade, a haunted cave, President Andrew Jackson, and a mysterious death that some people say was straight up murder by spirit.
And the kicker? The spirit had opinions. Religious debates, matchmaking advice, full-on roasts of people who annoyed her, like your drunk aunt at Thanksgiving, but invisible and possibly demonic.
In this episode, we're diving deep into the twisted tale of the Bell Witch haunting, how it started, how far it went, and how it refuses to stay buried, even today. We'll also get into some of the wild theories, throw in our demon or drama queen scale, and, of course, explore what happened when a ghost becomes a legend and a legend refuses to die.
But hey, before we get too deep into the ghost slaps and spiritual sass, don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe wherever you're listening. Drop us a review on Apple or Spotify. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit that notification bell so you never miss a new tale of terror. Got a creepy story or an episode suggestion? Hit us up at totalconundrum.com or come hang out with us on Instagram, Facebook, or X. We love hearing from you, Conundrum crew. But please, for the love of Betsy Bell, don't mail us haunted objects.
Unless you're sending Winkers McCreeps to Zach Bagans' Haunted Museum, in which case, proceed. Oh, and stick around till the end of the episode, because we've got trailers from two of our awesome podcast pals, Unsolved Couple Podcast and Where the Weird Ones Are Podcast. If you like strange, unsolved stories and haunted legends, you'll definitely want to check them out.
All right, let's crank up the lantern light. Maybe say a little prayer. And head back to the early 1800s, where something unseen was making the Bell family's life a living hell. This is the tale of the Bell Witch.
We'll be back after these messages.
Step back into the world of 90s true crime with the Unsolved Couple podcast. Join Ben and me, Sierra, as we dive into the iconic TV show Unsolved Mysteries, providing you the updates you missed out on as a kid. It's the perfect mix of nostalgia and true crime. Join us every Tuesday as we recap your original gateway drug into true crime, Unsolved Mysteries.
And back to the show.
Let's rewind to 1817, when John Bell Sr., a respected farmer, had recently moved his family from North Carolina to Red River, Tennessee, an area that eventually would become Adams. Life was simple, hard work, church on Sundays, and a community full of other settlers. But all that peace, it didn't last.
It started with something small, scratching and knocking sounds on the walls of their log cabin. At first, they brushed it off as rats, the wind, or something totally normal. But then it got louder and stranger. The noises began to echo inside the house. even when there was nothing outside. Then came the sounds of chains dragging across the floor, the flapping of wings, the gnawing on bedposts, but no visible cause.
And when they finally went to bed, that's when the real chaos began. Something ripped the covers off. Something yanked their pillows from under their heads. Something slapped and scratched them in the middle of the night. And when I say something, I mean something invisible.
Betsy Bell, the youngest daughter, got it the worst. Whatever this thing was, it hated her. She was repeatedly slapped, scratched, pinched, and had her hair pulled violently. The Bell family started finding bruises and welts on her body with no explanation. And in true demon overachiever fashion, it started talking.
But before we get too cozy with Kate's voice acting debut, let's talk about the family at the center of all this chaos. Because this wasn't just some average cabin in the woods. The Bells were a big deal in Red River.
John Bell Sr., a former deacon, respected landowner, and someone who really just wanted to grow corn and mind his own business. He and his wife, Lucy, had 9 kids, and by the time this haunting kicked off in 1817, they had already lived in Tennessee for over a decade. Lucy was described as a kind, deeply religious, and suspiciously untargeted by the witch. Which, I mean, major respect to Lucy for being the one person the spirit left alone.
And then there was Betsy, the youngest daughter, and unfortunately, the main target of the Bell Witch's rage. Betsy was only about 12 years old when things started going sideways. She went from trying to survive puberty to trying to survive a literal ghost beatdown real quick.
The attacks escalated night after night. Betsy would go to bed and wake up screaming, her face covered in hand-shaped welts, her hair pulled out at the roots, her body thrown from her bed by unseen forces. Sometimes the spirit would call her by her name, and sometimes it would mock her in multiple voices at once, like a demonic barbershop quartet of doom.
And it wasn't just the Bells. Neighbors started showing up, and they heard it too. The knocks, the chains, the growls, the sounds of something gnawing on wood inside the walls. Sometimes it would repeat sermons word for word.
Oh, definitely got to exercise that thing now.
Or call out people's deepest secrets in front of a full room. Imagine pulling up to someone's house and the ghost inside yells, "Oh, look, it's Sarah who cheats at cards."
People came from miles away to hear the ghost perform. It would sing hymns, recite prayers, and once even quoted an entire Sunday sermon from across town, word for word. We're talking full-service supernatural entertainment. I mean, if you ignore the slapping and the psychological torment.
One visitor even tried to test the spirit by asking it to repeat something he whispered silently in another room, and it did, verbatim.
So yeah, we weren't kidding when we said this ghost had a range. Slapstick violence, religious critique, petty gossip, and public humiliation. This thing had a full-blown paranormal variety act, and the longer she stayed, the more personal it got.
Yep, this wasn't just some mindless poltergeist. This thing had a voice, and apparently a deep commitment to being the worst roommate ever. And of course, it had a name.
It identified itself as Kate, and that's what people started calling it, Kate Batts. Now, Kate Batts was a real person, a woman in the community who had a reputation for being a bit eccentric, outspoken, and kind of hated by everyone. Local legend claimed that John Bell had wronged her in a land deal, and before she died, she swore she'd haunt him from beyond the grave.
Just for the record, there's no proof that she was actually a witch. Honestly, this might have been more of a blame the outspoken woman situation, which was very on brand for the 1800s. But hey, facts don't matter when a ghost is beating up your daughter and screaming Bible verses at you.
The Bell family tried everything to stop it. They prayed, held Bible readings, and even invited neighbors and clergy to witness the activity. And guess what? The entity performed on cue, responding to questions, imitating voices, and spilling secrets about the community that no one outside the family could have known.
People came from all over just to experience it. The Bell home basically became the paranormal hotspot of the South. And the weirdest part? The spirit wasn't just angry. It was selectively chatty, sometimes friendly, sometimes terrifying. It loved conversing with the kids, but would also curse John Bell Sr. constantly, often calling him an old jackass and threatening to kill him. Like, okay, Kate, tell us how you really feel.
This wasn't your average haunting. It was a full-on ghost show. And yet, as dramatic as Kate was, she was just getting started.
Betsy's torment intensified. She collapsed at school. She was in constant pain. The spirit would scream at her when she was around her fiancé, Joshua Gardner, and warned her not to marry him. The abuse became so constant and severe that eventually Betsy broke off the engagement. Some say she did it out of fear. Others claim the spirit was just jealous.
And here's where it gets even darker. The Bell Witch declared she would kill John Bell Sr. And as we'll see coming up, it might have just done exactly that.
Next, we'll dive into the death of John Bell, the mystery surrounding how it happened, and whether Kate the Witch really made good on her threat. Because when your haunting ends in murder, it's no longer folklore. It's true crime with a supernatural twist.
And we're just getting started. So by now, the Bell family is living in a literal hell house. Betsy is being emotionally and physically wrecked, and Kate, aka the Bell Witch, is making daily threats to kill John Bell Sr. And then, in 1820, things take a dark and final turn.
John Bell started showing signs of what they described at the time as nervous system issues, tremors, twitching, episodes of paralysis. Modern theories range from neurological disease to poisoning, but at the time, everyone had the same answer. Kate did it.
And the Bell Witch did not deny it. In fact, she claimed responsibility. As John's condition worsened, she said out loud, "I intend to kill him." Subtleness was not her thing. Then in December of that year, John Bell slipped into a coma. When family members went to check on his medication, they found that the vial he had been taking was now replaced with a mysterious black liquid. The spirit immediately announced, "I gave old Jack a dose of that last night, and he'll never wake again."
Which, yeah, he didn't. John Bell died the next day, and at his funeral, the Bell Witch sang drinking songs loudly and obnoxiously, mocking the mourners like it was open mic night at the ghost pub.
You know your haunting's gone off the rails when the spirit does a victory concert at your funeral. And yes, this is all documented in multiple historical accounts passed down through the generations and preserved in writings like The Authenticated History of the Bell Witch by N.V. Ingram, published in 1894.
Some say the witch's job was done. She killed the man she hated. Betsy had dumped her fiancé. And just like that, in 1821, the activity stopped. Well, mostly.
Before leaving, the Bell Witch apparently told the family she'd be back in 7 years. And sure enough, in 1828, a few minor disturbances were reported. Nothing as wild as before, but it was enough to keep the legend alive. And what's even weirder, some say the Bell Witch claimed she returned again in 1935. Spoiler alert, if she did, she kept it a low profile.
Or maybe she just got bored of us. Or she found TikTok. Who knows? But now it's time to break it down with our bonus segment.
Let's try to figure out what this entity actually was. Because calling it a witch doesn't really line up with what it did. Let's break it down. Option A, demon. Pros, violent, vengeful, hates religion, talks trash. Cons, didn't try to possess anyone, didn't speak in Latin. No creepy smoke, very undemon-like resume.
Option B, ghost. Pros, possibly the spirit of Kate Batts, seems tied to revenge and a grudge, and new personal info. Cons, way too powerful, too talkative, and way too up to date on community tea for your average ghost.
Option C, gossip queen poltergeist hybrid. Pros, spills secrets, starts drama. Disrupts relationships, mocks funerals. Cons, honestly, none. 10 out of 10 for chaotic energy.
Verdict? I'm going C. This wasn't a demon. This was a revenge-fueled petty queen with a ghost license and no bedtime.
Same. She wasn't evil for the sake of evil. She had opinions, emotional motives, and a weird obsession with Betsy's love life. This was a haunting powered by spite and sass.
All right, let's play our favorite paranormal property game, Would You Haunt This House? Today's listing, a cozy log cabin in rural Tennessee, circa 1817. Features include one angry spirit with a flair for the dramatic, Bible verse ASMR, in-house live-in ghost that slaps children, comes fully stocked with a mysterious black liquid, zero peace, haunted cave access nearby. So, Jeremy, would you live in this house?
Hells yeah, Tracy, and I'd be the one laying down the rules. I don't mind a little ghost drama, but if I'm staying in the house, we're setting some boundaries. No slapping, no whispering my name at 3 a.m., and definitely no funeral performances, unless I get a solo.
Agreed. Give me creaky floorboards and flickering lights. Not witch karaoke at your funeral. I'm out.
Coming up next, we're heading underground to the infamous Bellwitch Cave, exploring modern encounters, cursed rocks, and the legend's eerie legacy. Plus, one very special guest appearance from President Andrew Jackson himself. Kind of.
Stay close, keep your lantern lit, and maybe don't touch anything you find in a haunted cave. Just saying. So after the haunting ended in 1821, you'd think the Bell family would catch a break. They didn't, because the legend didn't die with John Bell. It just relocated underground.
Enter the Bellwitch Cave, a 490-foot limestone cave on the Bell property, tucked into the woods along the Red River. And while it's not where the main haunting happened, it's become synonymous with the spirit. Visitors today swear they've seen shadows, heard voices, and even been physically shoved by something they couldn't see. It's like an off-season home for petty ghosts.
And here's where things get cursed. Over the years, tourists have taken rocks from the cave as souvenirs. Little chunks of history, right? Wrong. People who have pocketed these rocks have reported everything from car accidents and breakups to injuries and financial disasters, and a lot of them end up mailing the rocks back, complete with a handwritten apology letter, basically begging the Bell Witch to forgive them. Let's read a few highlights. Letter 1. Since removing the rock, my husband was in a car accident. I lost my job, and our house caught fire. I don't know if it's related, but I'm not taking chances.
Letter 2. We thought it was funny. Then our daughter started waking up screaming about a woman in the corner. The rock is in this box. Please take it back.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, no.
Letter 3. Our favorite. Dear Bell Witch, sorry I took your rock. I didn't mean to offend. Please stop making my cat stare at the wall at 3 a.m. He hasn't blinked in days.
Meow. Meow. Moral of the story? If a haunted place says don't take anything, maybe don't take anything. Especially not cursed cave rocks. Those don't look great on shelves next to your Funko Pops anyways.
But let's back up. Because before the cave became the spooky tourist spot it is today, the Bellwitch story was already gaining some serious attention, including from, wait for it,
President Andrew Jackson. Yep, the actual Andrew Jackson, 7th President of the United States. Professional dueler and all-around chaos magnet, reportedly heard about the Bell Witch and decided to visit the property with a group of men. Why? To investigate the haunting himself.
According to legend, as Jackson's wagon approached the property, the wheels suddenly locked up and the horses refused to move. Then a mysterious voice said, "You may proceed, General, but I will see you again tonight." And just like that, boom, the wagon moved again. Thanks for the ghostly green light, Kate.
That night, one of Jackson's men claimed to be a witch tamer and started mouthing off to the spirit. Big mistake. He was immediately slapped, dragged around, and thrown around the cave by absolutely nothing visible. Jackson reportedly said, I'd rather fight the British than the Bell Witch. Same, Andy, same.
What's wild is that this entire experience reportedly made Jackson leave early. Some versions say that they left that night. Others say that they made it one more day. But either way, they bailed fast. And Jackson never spoke of it publicly again, which, considering the man had no filter in most situations, is kind of a big deal.
It's also worth noting, this was years before Jackson became president, and some people speculate that maybe, just maybe, the Bell Witch gave him a spiritual push to greatness. To which I say, if true, that spirit deserves at least a political strategist credit.
Or maybe she just didn't want him in the cave and promoted him so he'd leave Tennessee. Either way, if the Bell Witch is handing out career boosts, I'd like to apply. Kate, if you're listening, I'm available for a raise. Okay, time for Haunted Hot Takes, where we drop our most unfiltered opinion about the Bell Witch legend. Jeremy, you go first. Hit me with your spiciest take.
All right. I don't think this was just one entity. The Bell Witch was too inconsistent to be a single spirit. One minute she's singing hymns, the next she's assaulting teenagers, and she's debating religion and matchmaking. I think this is a whole paranormal group chat. Chaos with commentary.
Oh, okay. Ghost group project energy. I can vibe with that. Well, my hot take, Betsy Bell was the real victim, and nobody protected her. Everyone was like, oh no, the house is haunted. Meanwhile, poor Betsy's getting slapped every night for years, and people are treating it like it's a dinner party attraction. Justice for Betsy, honestly.
Yeah, the ghost could have picked a wall to knock on, but no, it went full WWE on a teenage girl. Even in the afterlife, toxic behavior persists.
All right, coming up next, we wrap up with the legacy of the Bell Witch, her place in American folklore, and whether or not she's still out there. Spoiler, if she is, we're not inviting her on the show. Sorry, Kate, you're not podcast friendly.
Unless she wants to start her own podcast called Whispers and Whoopings. The Bell Witch tells all. Honestly, I'd listen. So, after the chaos of John Bell's death, the haunting eventually faded. But the story only grew louder.
Today, the legend of the Bell Witch is considered America's most documented haunting. It's been featured in books, documentaries, and paranormal shows, and it even inspired horror films like An American Haunting and The Blair Witch Project. Loosely. But we'll count it.
The Bell Witch Cave is still open to visitors, and people still report weird stuff from hearing voices and seeing shadowy figures, and occasionally getting slapped by invisible hands. So, you know, tourism with a side of trauma.
And the legend still sparks debate. Was it real? Was it a hoax? Mass hysteria? Or was it exactly what it claimed to be? A vindictive spirit who couldn't stand bad real estate deals or a teenage romance? We'll probably never know for sure, but one thing's clear, the Bell Witch left a mark that never really faded.
We'll be back after these messages.
What's up, frickin' weirdos? My name is Kevin, and I'm the host of Where the Weird Ones Are podcast. This is a conversational podcast based on guest experiences and encounters with paranormal, cryptids, aliens, spirituality, mental health, as well as conspiracies. If these topics interest you, you can find me on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, as well as YouTube and Rumble. If you have an encounter or an experience of something that you can't quite explain, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to me at wheretheweirdonesare@gmail.com. where_theweirdonesare on Instagram, and Where the Weird Ones Are on Facebook. I hope to hear from you, my friends. Question everything and stay weird.
Back to the show.
Which brings us to our final ruling. I'm doubling down. Drama queen poltergeist all day. She was vindictive, vocal, petty, and theatrical. That's not demonic rage. That's ghost-level drama with a Broadway energy.
I agree. This wasn't hellfire and brimstone. This was sass, salt, and supernatural gossip. She didn't want souls. She wanted revenge, attention, and the last word. So our final rating?
Bellwitch equals 30% ghost, 10% demon, and 60% pure uncut chaos queen.
All right, Conundrum Crew. It's time for our haunting survival quiz. How would you fare in the Bellwitch house? Let's find out. Answer honestly. Your spiritual safety depends on it. Question 1. You hear tapping on your wall at 3 a.m. What do you do? A. Investigate the sound. B. Pray quietly and go back to sleep. C. Talk to it. Maybe it's lonely. D. Immediately move without packing.
Or E. Throw something at the wall and tell it to shut the hell up. Question 2. A disembodied voice whispers your name. You, A, ask it what it wants. B, pretend you didn't hear it. C, whisper back, wrong number. D, cry in the bathtub with the lights off.
E, set it on fire and run.
That's your typical response.
Question 3. A stranger offers you a Bellwitch cave rock as a souvenir. You, A, accept politely. B, refuse and start chanting. C, chuck it back into the cave and apologize to the void. D, slap them with sage.
If you answer mostly A's and B's, you're cautious, curious, and might survive the night. Might. Mostly C's, you've got guts, but also, please stop provoking spirits. Mostly D's, you are correct. You are safe. You are alive. Well done.
Let us know your score. We might just read the funniest ones on a future episode. Bonus points if you use ghost emojis. Now, let's take a peek at some totally fake but emotionally accurate Yelp reviews from the Bellwitch visitors throughout the years. 3 stars. House was lovely. Ghost was loud. Would stay again with earplugs. Bring holy water. A. Jackson, early adopter of haunted tourism.
1 star. Got slapped by the spirit, mocked by a ghost voice, and a mule refused to leave. 0 out of 10. Terrible vacation. J. Bell Jr.
5 stars. Kate insulted me, ruined my relationship, and mocked my faith. Best therapy session I never signed up for. Anonymous Baptist visitor. All right. We're ending this triple feature with one of my favorites. These are real or paraphrased quotes attributed to the Bellwitch that totally sound like TikTok comments. I told you I'd kill him. TikTok translation? Manifesting.
Sings a hymn at your funeral. TikTok translation. That's the sound of me not caring. Hashtag funeral vibes.
Don't marry him, Betsy. TikTok translation? Sis, he's a walking red flag. Drop him. Hashtag ghostly advice.
Honestly, if the Bellwitch had access to a smartphone, she'd be an influencer with a petty streak and a million followers. Witch talk with Kate. Paranormal opinions no one asked for.
All she needs is some good merch.
Introducing the exclusive Bellwitch collection. Perfect for the paranormal fashionista in your life. Don't make me go full Kate t-shirt. Slapped by a ghost and all I got was this lousy t-shirt hoodie. Limited edition Bellwitch EVP player. Comes preloaded with 5 spooky insults. Cursed rock replica. Not technically cursed, we think. Available nowhere. But if you hear a knock on your door, she might have shipped it herself.
Get yours today, or we'll make a doll of you and send it to the cave.
And if you're not ready to commit to cursed merch, don't worry. We've got something way bigger for you.
That's right. Why stop at a haunted hoodie when you could own the actual house that started it all? Welcome to Tracy's Paranormal Real Estate, where ghosts aren't just included, they're never leaving.
Great. I just got pre-approved with a lender who specializes in spirit-infested colonial farmhouses. Interest rate's terrible, but the paranormal activity is through the roof.
Hi there. I'm Tracy from Paranormal Properties, and today I've got a once-in-an-afterlife opportunity for you. Nestled in scenic rural Tennessee, this charming two-story log cabin comes with four bedrooms, one invisible roommate, active poltergeist energy, in-house ghosts with strong performance background, private access to a cursed cave, and a long history of violent spiritual torment.
Oh, and don't forget, zero property tax if you agree to host annual seances.
Whether you're a family of settlers or just looking for a peaceful place to get screamed at by a spirit, the Bellwitch House is the haunted dream home for you.
Act fast. This one won't stay unpossessed for long. And yes, ghosts are included with the property. Sorry, no returns. All right, Conundrum Crew, buckle up. We're heading into the Ghost Adventures investigation of the infamous Bellwitch Cave in Adams, Tennessee. Our fearless ghost hunters, Zach Baggins, Aaron Goodwin, Billy Tolley, and Jay Wosley, decided it was a brilliant idea to poke around one of America's oldest and most notorious hauntings. Because you know, when a spirit has a resume that includes allegedly killing a man, the logical move is to pay it a visit. Zach even noted that this was the first spirit he encountered with a body count.
So, Zach Baggins and his crew roll up to the property, which was once the home to the Bell family. They're greeted by Walter Kirby, the current owner, who gives them the lowdown on the 200-year-old haunting.
And let's not forget the cave on the property. Some believe it's a portal to the spirit world, possibly linked to an ancient Native American burial ground. Because disturbing sacred sites always ends well in horror stories.
During their investigation, the team experienced a paranormal smorgasbord. Disembodied voices, they captured eerie phrases like, "Listen to me," unexplained noises, footsteps, loud bangs, and even pig grunts echoed through the cave. Apparition mist-like figures and shadowy shapes made cameo appearances. Physical sensations the crew felt enveloped in an indescribable energy as if they opened a portal.
Then there's the thermal imaging. Zach captured an eerie blue glow around Aaron's head with a figure that seemed to have horns. Because nothing says you're safe like a horned apparition photobombing your shot.
And let's not overlook the pig grunts. In the middle of the cave, they heard what sounded like a pig. Maybe the Bellwitch has a side gig as a farm animal impersonator?
Or perhaps it's a nod to the witch's alleged shape-shifting abilities. Either way, not the kind of oink you want to hear in the dark.
In summary, the Ghost Adventures crew visit to the Bellwitch Cave was a paranormal roller coaster. They encountered a greatest hits album of ghostly phenomena, from voices to apparitions to physical sensations and mysterious noises. It's clear that the Bellwitch isn't camera shy and still enjoys the spotlight.
So what really happened on that Tennessee farm in the early 1800s? No one knows for sure, but whether it was a spirit, a scam, or a supernatural soap opera, the Bellwitch story refuses to be forgotten.
And honestly, we wouldn't be surprised if she's listening right now. So hey, Kate, thanks for the material. But maybe take it easy on the slapping next time.
Huge thanks to all of you for hanging out with us on this creepy classic. Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe. Drop us a review and tell your friends not to touch cursed cave rocks. Got your own ghost story? Submit it at totalconundrum.com and you might be featured on a future episode.
And stick around because next time we're heading into a real-life mystery with a true crime twist. One packed with secrets, strange behavior, and a case that'll leave you wondering what was real and something darker.
Until then, keep your lantern lit, your sage nearby, and your drama levels low, unless you're haunting from beyond. Then by all means, go full Kate.
Keep on creeping on. We love you.
Bye. Thanks for hanging out with us here at Total Conundrum. Please make sure to check out our website and blog at totalconundrum.com for news, upcoming events, merch, bloopers, and additional hysteria. You never know what will pop up, so be sure to follow along. If you want to show your support for Total Conundrum and gain access to all of our bonus content, please visit our Patreon page. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The links are available in our show notes. If you have any questions, comments, recommendations, or stories to share, please email us at contact@totalconundrum.com. Episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate the love. Keep on creeping on, mother cluckers.